What's up? How you guys doing? What's so funny? I'm just laughing for no reason. I like my moment like here talking with Nathan, and we talk about you guys. If y'all didn't know, we really do. I'm like, well, how are they? He's like, I don't know. They're coming along. I was like, well, try to rebuke them or something, maybe. Nathan, thanks for preaching to us today, by the way, too. I'm going to quit about halfway through. The first service probably wished I had because I went long. But this is some good stuff that we're talking about today, and it's hard for me to not get a little passionate about it because God's convicted my heart about it. And usually when God's convicted my heart about it, I get pretty passionate about it, and some people would probably take that as, oh, well, he's just wanting to yell at us today about something, and that's not the case at all. I'm usually yelling at myself. I hope that you understand that. Before we get into stuff, I want to just share, we've got a couple things I want you to know about. The first thing, we actually got a little video of some girls in our church. In fact, let's just go ahead and let's roll this video. I want you to check this out and get on.
Hello, my name is Tessa Kulik and this is my sister, and we are selling keychain charms for Haiti. A few weeks ago, when Nathan was singing the song and showing the video, I felt like Jesus was telling me I had to do something. So I asked her if I could help her make some keychains to help Haiti. These are our keychain charms that we've made over the last week, and they are $1, and all the money will go to Haiti. God told me that they needed help more than I do, so I wanted to help. When they were showing the video, it was really sad, and I just felt that Jesus wanted me to do it. We have sold up to $100 for Haiti so far. Well, some are made from plastic, and some are made from stretchy bends, and we use different sorts of beads. And this one is like a solid with a plastic material. And this is one of our newest ones. It's a loop and then another loop. We have these beads that are shaped weird. The cross ones do cross sell faster, and the ones with crosses cost a little more. They cost $1.25. You can get these at church between services, and my mom will be carrying them around most of the time.
I love it. That's so awesome. Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it? They just, you know, I mean, they say it pretty much as straightforward as you could possibly say it. And how proud, you know, can we possibly be that there are kids in our church that when they feel like Jesus wants them to do something, that they just do it. You know, and I'm just thinking, man, if we could just like multiply that and just like spew it out onto everybody, including me, man, we'd all be doing a whole lot better. Girls, I'm so proud of you. We actually have had, they've of course been selling these keychains to raise money. By the way, I love that the one with the cross costs more money. They should go to work for Lifeway. That's such a stab at Lifeway if you're not catching it. It's so cool that they're doing that. And we've actually had some other girls in the church and other kids in the church that have been making cookies and selling cookies. Again, all the money going to Haiti. Just how awesome is that? We had some kids that did like a play-a-thon. I'd never heard of a play-a-thon, but apparently it's kind of like the walk-a-thon where you get people to like sponsor you per mile. Only the play-a-thon, you just get people to sponsor you to play by the hour, which I'm thinking, man, I got to find something like that to raise money for our church. Seriously, we had some kids that did a play-a-thon thing. It was something I think that Hasbro was doing and would sponsor, and they would provide the games. They sent this huge box of games to our church, and Ann Saylor kind of headed this deal up, and Hasbro matches, you know, money up to a certain amount. I think they've raised over $1,000 with that thing, on top of what you guys have been giving on here and there for Haiti, and then Haiti's song. If you haven't gotten Haiti's song, Nathan's actually playing it at the end of the service today. You can still go HaitiSong.com. You can go to our website. There's links there, whatever, and get that. And any money that goes toward that, we're suggesting $10, but you give, you know, $10 million if you want to. We'll just send it all to Haiti. Although it'd be tough. Watch $10 million. I'd go, wow. Why don't you give $10 million to us sometime? See, I'm a sinner. It's terrible to even think that way. Yeah, and you can laugh at it now. No, seriously, some cool stuff. I'm so proud of our kids that have been doing this stuff. Thank you guys for doing that and listening to what Jesus told you to do. That's so awesome. I want to also just kind of share a couple things going on. One is Easter is coming, and it will be here sooner than what you think. And Easter, if you didn't know, it tends to be one of those days of the year that we have lots of people show up to church. And per as kind of what's even been happening, I mean, if you, of course, you weren't here for the first service because you're here for the second service, maybe some of you, but anyway, the first service today just even had you know, close to as many people as this service has in it now. Used to, first service is like the service that people don't really go to. It's like, you know, what volunteers go to so that they can help take care of your kids and serve you when you come to the second service. A lot of times, not the case anymore. Totally not the case. And many of you serve in the first hour so that they can come in here and worship, and thank God for all of you that serve. Well, here's what's going on. If we were to just do Easter and do two services like we normally do two services, we would be just, it would be jacked out the chain, for just lack of better terms, of just ridiculousness happening at 24 Church, because there's going to be a ton of people here on Easter. So what we are doing is we are planning for three services on Easter. Now, we're not releasing times and all that stuff yet. Well, that stuff will be coming out within the week, and we'll be getting that stuff out there. But I want you to pray about how you might serve as being a part of that day. We're encouraging people to try to be here for all 3 hours if you can. Worship an hour and maybe serve in two different hours. You know, whether it's helping with kids or helping greet or just, you know, whatever it may be, helping with parking. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. And so we're going to be looking for help. And so just be praying about that. I'm just asking you to pray about it. Just be thinking about it. Be talking with your family. It's going to be an awesome day. And I'm praying that some people will come to Jesus on Easter. I really am. I really pray that every Sunday, by the way, but I just have a hunch. There'll be a lot of folks here that don't know Christ, and a great opportunity for us to minister to them and their families on that day. So coming up here pretty soon, just be thinking about that and whatnot. The last thing I want to tell you, and then we're going to pray and I'll get into this, is this kind of cool. This week, this Tuesday night, we are having our very first man night. And so if you are a man, you are invited. If you are a woman, you are not invited. Okay? It's just that simple. And some of the women are like, oh, you're discriminating against me. I'm sorry. There's usually a lot of things for the ladies and not so much for the men. So here's what we're doing. I've had this on my heart for a long time. I think I had Jerry make a video to promote Man Night like 2 years ago that's still floating around out there somewhere. And basically, we're going to meet here at 6:30, or if you're in Nashville, you can meet us where we're going. We're going to meet here at, we're going to leave here at 6:30 from 24, but we are headed to the new Buffalo Wild Wings, which is right by the Red Robin in West Nashville, out that way. And so, just an all invite for men to come and hang. And the whole goal of this thing is for some of us to get to know each other that don't know each other, and we're probably going to spend at least just a few minutes just kind of praying for each other. Nothing, you know, not trying to embarrass anybody, not trying to, you know, whatever, just want to try to start building a foundation of men in our church being spiritual leaders and just kind of challenging one another and doing that kind of stuff. And we've actually got me and Jesse Parsons and some other guys have sat down over time, and we've got lists of stuff to do for man nights for like here to Kingdom Come that include like playing on Bobcats and power tools and just, I mean, just, you know, blowing things up with Jake and just all kinds of craziness. So just be prepared. This is the first one. I would recommend coming if you can. We'll leave here at 6:30. If you want to meet us at the place at Buffalo Wild Wings, it'll be 7. So that's going on. So come hang with us. It'll be good. Let me pray and let's get into this. God, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, for letting us worship you. God, I think we just take that for granted, that we can be here together and that we can sing to the top of our voices how great you are and how awesome you are. God, I pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts of whatever it is that you want to show us through your word. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word. God, I pray, Lord, that you would keep me out of your way. God, you speak today. Lord, this is all for you, and it's for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. So today is the last installment on the parenthood series. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, and I want to say it again just to make sure that, you get this again. There's no way on earth that we could cover every topic that comes up with parenting as we're going through this thing. And I want you to know that if you are struggling with something, if you are having issues with something, I want you to know that you can come to us, talk to us. We don't have all the answers, but we know where to go to find them. And we would love to try to help you. And it may be that we're trying to help you with finding scripture, or maybe resources like books. There are some good books out there. We've got some on the resource table I saw this morning on parenting and on different things. And just know that we are here for you. We want to help partner with parents in raising godly children. And so we want to help you succeed at the plan for parenthood that God has for you and your family. And that's very important to us. And so just as that's kind of coming down the pipe, just remember that and keep that. Now, today's message, I'll be a little honest with you. It's almost kind of like a, it's almost a little bit off to a different way than a lot of the other messages have been. A lot of the other messages have been, and so it doesn't really matter if you're a parent or not here today. You know, what we're talking about today is worthy for all of us. It comes from God's word. It speaks the same to all of us. But this message today is not so much in, you know, how to train up your child and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We've talked about some of that stuff. But the message today is about the subject of adoption. And when we were first looking at this series and we're talking about what has to make this series, what needs to make it into the series, and one of the guys threw out, you know, what about if we took a week to do it, a week on adoption? We've talked about, you know, how we need to do a week on that at some point in time. And I was like, yeah, that just sounds great. And so I'll be honest with you, as I've been preparing for this and planning for this, you know, what I thought that it would be in the beginning, it's something completely different now. Something completely different now. As God has spoken to my heart and shown me through his word what he really wants to talk about, and really is a very convicting, very important piece of the puzzle for us as believers to get, is the subject of adoption. And with that, I have to ask this question. What does adoption mean to you? I mean, when you think about the word adoption, what do you think about? You know, and asking that question, if you were just thinking right now and being honest, you'd be thinking about, oh, well, you know, we got a neighbor and they adopted a kid, and, you know, and also, you know, so we have these stories. Or, you know, maybe I got a cousin and they adopted, and, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, and that's, they're great stories. But there is something that comes before us adopting kids. There's something that comes before our friends who have adopted kids. You see, adoption didn't start, you know, it wasn't just like some guys sitting around one day and was like, hey, you know, we should start this thing called adoption and we should just, you know, start, you know, adopting orphans and stuff. No. This is part of the plan that God had before the time of creation. Adoption is so important and so vital for us as Christians. And this morning, I want you just to know there's a few things that I want you to walk away from here today. And number one, I'm going to challenge you today, challenge you to pray about giving to adoption. In other words, helping support people, Christians that are wanting to adopt. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Number two, I want to urge you today for you and your family to pray about adopting. Kids, you're sitting here today and you're going, I'm a kid. I can't adopt. I'm still living with my parents. You can influence your parents to get you a brother or sister, okay? I'm telling you. We've got kids in our church that have influenced their family. When they've gone, I've been amazed at how God moves in the hearts of children. This is childlike faith. This is what we saw in the video a second ago. Jesus told me to do it, so we did it. You know, it's like... Hello, you know, and I think for us, you know, we miss that so much, but I want to urge you to pray about with you and your family. I want to urge you in praying about adopting. In fact, by the way, if you hadn't noticed, we have adoption agencies this morning. We have several adoption agencies, and a close friend of ours, Kelsey, has driven up to be here from Memphis today. Thank you for being here, and is here representing one of those, and there are other agencies out there, domestic, international, you know, whatever, and we want to encourage you that if God is even remotely placing it on your heart, We have put the tools in the foyer so that you can just spend a minute asking some questions, getting some information so that you can take it and go home and pray over it. Doesn't mean I'm like, hey, go out there and, oh, I mean, God may say, hey, go out there and, you know, start the process today. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not here to guilt trip people into adopting today. I'm here to teach God's word. Which leads me to the third thing that I want to make sure that you walk away with today. I want you to get an understanding today of what it means for us to be adopted into God's family. And I'm going to spend the majority of my time, honestly, on this. But I think that it's so super important. I think it's one of those things that we hear about. We see it in passages of Scripture. We don't ever specifically talk about the adoption that we have with God. And it's important. And there's some things about it that I think are just really key that I think are really going to spur us on into just even loving God even more as we've learned more and more about Him and who He is. So, with that said, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love." I want to just stop right there for a second. Love this passage of Scripture. Love this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture points to the proof that there's no accidents with God. He's got it all figured out. He knows what's going to go down. Before the foundations of the world, He chose us. Before the foundations of the world. This is going back into like some eternity stuff here. This is like, you know, this is going the opposite direction, you know, of what we're constantly thinking about of as eternity. But this is going back to before the creation of the world, God knew exactly what was going to happen with us. And this is so huge that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Yeah, and here's the catch to that, though. Here's the catch to that. That we would be holy and blameless before Him is not something that we can accomplish on our own. Which meant that back before the foundation of the world, He was already planning, thinking out, strategizing, had it figured out that Jesus was going to come and He was going to die on a cross so that we could be holy and blameless before Him, becoming children of God. And we'll talk about that. Goes on. It says in verse 5, it says, "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will." He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. So God knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen with us. He chose us. He chose us despite the fact that He knew that we would be sinners, that we would break His heart continually. As First Services, I'll ask you the same question. Let me ask you this question. Think on this for just a second. I know this is not the most popular thing to think about today, but I want you to think about it. It's very scriptural because Paul calls us to examine ourselves and our hearts. But I want you to think, I want you to take a second to think about all the sin that you've had in your life in the last week. Let's just say week. Think about the things that you've done where you recognize, man, I failed at what God wanted me to do in this way, or I gave in to this temptation this way. And pretty quickly, I think most of us can think, well, there's this and there's that, there's this and there's that. And you know, you think about that. I mean, that's just the past week. That's just the past week. Let me ask you this question. If you had a friend, and your friend, let's say, over the past week, did the same number of things that would hurt you, would you count them still as a friend? Let's say they stabbed you in the back the same number of times. Let's say you can think of at least 10 sins right now. 10 things I did wrong. You know, there's, you know, at least that, you know, within the last week. Or maybe there's 20, maybe there's 50, or, you know, maybe there's 100, whatever. You see, most of us would question whether or not that person would even be our friend. We would say, well, you know, if they did that, then they must not care for me. They must not love me. They must not really be a friend. And it's a far stretch for us to just to even take a gander or a stab at just even what it's like for God to have us sin against him. But the truth is that despite our sin that he knew about before he created us and before he created the world, he still planned ahead that he was going to send his son to die for us. Despite the fact that he knew that we would break his heart. It's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. He predestined us for adoption. He planned on adopting us. He planned it. He knew it was going to happen. I don't know about you, but I struggle just to even get the month planned or the week. God planned that he would adopt us as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, his plan, his thing. Verse 6 says this, says to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. To God's praise, to the praise of his glorious grace, God did this. This is an amazing thing. This is an amazing, amazing, amazing thing for us to understand that when God did this, when he planned this, he did this all for his glory. Now, if you've been around 24 for any length of time, in and out, whatever, it doesn't matter. But if you've been here, you know that we believe and teach, as Scripture does, that everything that God does is for his glory. It is for his fame. It is for him to be made much of. Now, here's the dilemma that we have. We fall into the human side of things, and we want to do things for our fame. We want to do things for our glory. We got some stuff we want to get done. We're like, oh, well, you know, I want people to make much of me. I want people to think a lot of me. I want people to think good things. And our sin nature leads us that way. But the thing is that God wired us so that we would do that. But the thing is we're supposed to do it for him. We were created to give glory to him. We were created to make much of him, so that when people see us, that they wouldn't think much of us, but when people see us, that they would think much of him. Huge concept to our faith. He does everything to his glory, including adoption. Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. This is also, about the way, the song Child of Ruin that we just sang a few minutes ago that Logan wrote. This song is actually written off this passage of Scripture. Romans 8, verses 12 through 17 says this, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." I love this wording, by the way, brothers. We're going to be talking about this in just a minute with the whole idea that we are a part of the family of God. "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." I love this, verse 13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Wow. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." You know, I think this is such a great thing to unlock for us. If you've never unlocked this, if you've never gotten the fact that we find our joy when we make much of God, when we bring glory to him, there is nothing like being in the middle of God's will. When God has called you to do something and Jesus said, "I want you to do this," and you just do it because Jesus said to do it, and then you're doing it and you're bringing glory to him, and you're not doing it out of, you know, some false thing, but you're really doing it because you love Jesus. There is nothing that will bring you joy like that. to give God the glory with all of your life, that is the place where you are going to find joy. But see, here's what we do. We live according to the flesh. We fall into it. We like the flesh. The flesh is good, isn't it? I mean, it's good. And we fall into it time and time again. And how many times, you know, it's like we see Paul saying, you know, I hate the things that I do sometimes. We fall into these things. We try to live by the flesh, but when we live by the flesh, we die. That's why we have like spiritually dead Christians that attend church every week. And they have no joy. They're missing the joy. They're missing the moment that God has created them for. And that moment is to always give him the glory, to live for him. Because when we live by the flesh and we're in the pursuit of all the stuff or the whatever it is, it's never enough and it always leads to death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. We will live. Verse 14, it says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's such a sweet thing to hear, that we could be sons and daughters of the Holy One. Verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons." There it is again, sneaking in there on us. "Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." We are adopted children of God. A bunch of you have been Christians for a long time are going, "Okay, I got this long time ago. Thanks. Cool. Thanks for bringing it back up." Okay. There are some elements to this that I think that many of us have missed. There are elements to this that I know I've missed. There are elements to this that I think for so many of us, you know, we just along the way, we don't recognize certain things about some of the things that we may read over and over, like the word adoption and God saying that we've been adopted is so huge. You know, first of all, us being adopted, again, part of the plan. God created adoption. It's his creation, okay? Nobody else can claim it. It doesn't have any other designers. He did it. It's all him. Part of his plan. Secondly, it was not an afterthought. Many of us that think about adoption, when I ask that question, you know, what do you think about adoption? You might think about, well, we got some friends that, you know, they can't have kids, so they decided to adopt. No. Different. God did not afterthought adoption. He did not sit around one day and go, "Oh, you know, there's going to be, you know, some loopholes here. You know, there'll be, you know, oh gosh, here comes sin. Well, that's a surprise. I didn't know there was going to be sin." No, he knew there was going to be sin. He knew that Jesus was going to have to come and die for us in order for us to be blameless and holy in his sight. God planned adoption. It was not an afterthought. Before the foundations of the earth, he was thinking about this. And I just got to tell you, you know, I think that it's really important for us to spend time in God's Word to really seek out an understanding of scriptural words that sometimes I think Christians, especially younger generation Christians, and please listen to me, if you fall in that bracket, or maybe you're just kind of coming back to the church, or maybe you're just getting here and you're like, I don't even know what this is about. Jesus loves you. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But there's a need for us to hunger for God's word, to spend time in understanding, and we will unlock more and more about who God is and fall more deeply in love with him as we do, as we understand things like justification and sanctification and regeneration. And, you know, you're like, oh, there's a lot of shuns, you know, here, and I'm just, you know, I don't know if I want to get, you know, listen. Justification by itself. Justification is understanding that when Christ came, he was the ransom. He paid the price for us. We were justified in God's eyes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That made us justified. It justified us to God. That if we would receive him as our Savior and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and make him Lord of our life, then so be it. We'd be justified. Now here's a cool thing. I'll hit the regeneration thing. Regeneration, cool thing. We were spiritually dead. I mean dead as a doornail. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, us coming to know him as our Savior, we were made alive spiritually on the inside where we were dead before. That's the regeneration. Now you're going, Chris, this is great to have a little doctrinal lesson here on some words, you know, and things, and you know, always good to go over this stuff. But we're talking about adoption. What's the point? Here's the point. God didn't have to do it. You say, what? I know, God didn't have to send his son to adopt. No. God didn't have to adopt us. You see, we could have been justified through Christ and he not adopt us. We could have been made spiritually alive through the process of coming to Christ and he not adopt us. You say, Chris, it's all part of one thing. Yeah, it's all pieces of the puzzle that go together, but there are different things happening here. As you read God's word and you understand, and that's why I say it's important for us to take time to understand what these things mean, because they are different facets of God's love for us. That he would make us justified despite knowing that we were terrible sinners, that we would break his heart over and over, but still loved us and sent his son. That he would make us spiritually alive, knowing that we would still have a sinful nature and that we would continue to fall over and over and over. And that he would adopt us as a whole nother piece of the puzzle. And it's an awesome piece of the puzzle. I mean, it's like so good. Like he wanted us to be a part of his family. It didn't have to be that way. He chose it that way. And there are benefits of this. There are benefits of God adopting us into his family. I mean, just a couple, just off the top of my head, and this is not all of them, it's just a couple. We hurt and joy together. As a church, we hurt and joy together. I hurt with people in our church. You hurt with people in our church. At the same time, we joy with one another. That's a part of being the family of God. God hurts with us. He joys with us. We hurt with him. We joy with him. Privileges like that we get to be led by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can live in our heart and that he could lead us, that we would share in God's suffering and glory, that God would discipline us as a father. And you're like, I don't know if that's a privilege. No, I need God to discipline me because I'm stupid and I keep messing up and I need God to discipline me, whether it's through his word or whatever it may be. I need God's discipline. It means that we can imitate what a real father looks like. That's the privilege. Because you see, one of the privileges of being a part of the family of God is that we can know him, that we can have a relationship with him, and therefore we have something to imitate. Over and over, over and over and over and over and over and over the past several weeks, I have just kept running into situation after situation after situation of people that are struggling. People that are Christians, mind you. People that are church-going good people, upstanding citizens who, you know, love their wives and love their neighbors and, you know, whatever it may be. People that are having a really hard time with understanding God's love. I mean, I've been floored by it. It's like God's just led me down this path of seeing something that I've seen before. But like consistently, I'm seeing grown adults that have called themselves Christians for a long time that are saying, I really don't understand God's love. And many of them are that way because they had a situation with a father, an earthly father, that has them at a point where they can't even imagine what that looks like because they've never seen maybe the love that they needed to see there. And I remember so many people telling me before we had children that I remember one youth pastor friend of mine saying, Chris, you just have no idea what God's love is like until you've had a kid of your own. His name was Rusty, and he was so right. I didn't have a clue. And to have a child is this amazing thing, magical thing, that you can begin to just begin, not completely understand, but begin to understand an aspect of God's love for you when he calls you children of God and adopts you into his family. By the way, let me ask you this question. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are. We are family. We hurt together. We joy together, all those things. But I want you to know something else. We are not in competition with gospel teaching churches. Jesus worshiping churches, we're not in competition with them. There is no competition. Sometimes we're really good at thinking, you know, and it's great to love our church, praise God for it, and give him the glory for it. But I think we've got to be careful that sometimes we go, oh, well, you know, that church is terrible, my church is better, and, you know, all this stuff. Completely, completely not in line with this word that we're reading today. And an understanding that we are brothers and sisters in Christ with those people. It's just something that we have to check ourselves on. God brought us into his family, and one of the aspects that he wants us to do in bringing us into his family is that we would imitate him as parents. That we would show what it looks like for people to see godly parenting, parenting that would bring God glory. I mean, you just think about this. Think about how in the raising of our children alone, we give God glory. I mean, we do this in everything. We give something glory in everything we do. But for us to think about being through our parenting, maybe you say, well, I'm not a parent yet, Chris. Through being a child then. How do you honor your father and mother? How do you give God glory through that, even in times when it just doesn't even seem right? But God has called you to do that. And you see, that's an aspect of you being able to give God glory is being obedient to his word. So many have no concept of God's love, many times, again, because of a father figure or whatever it may be. But we have and possess the ability to overcome that through the Holy Spirit. And not just overcome it, but to not recreate what we went through. And for us to be able to show an example of godly love and godly parenting through our own ability to raise our kids, to do things like give toward adoption, for us to go and actually adopt. I've got a video that I want to share with you. with a family within our church. And I just want, we'll just watch this together. Let's go ahead and hit that.
I'm Ben Shoemaker, and this is my wife, Stacy.
And we have 12 children, Brooke, Bradford, Bailey, Griffin, Logan, Sasha, Alexander, Riley, Jensen, Keaton, Barrett, Reed, and Ephraim.
Well,
one at a time.
Yeah, mostly one at a time.
I don't know. I always wanted one child starting out.
Yeah, and I mean, when we never started out thinking, oh, we're going to have 12 children.
No.
We started off, and I had three brothers, and I thought, well, we'll probably have three or four children.
Eight are biological, and four are adopted. I was adopted. And so it was just something that I'd always been aware of and had always wanted to do.
Where's Ephraim?
Ephraim's in TV.
We didn't start out planning to do international adoptions, but because we had so many children, and we contacted the state, we asked about special needs children, hard to place children, and they said, nope, we've got too many kids.
No, so we were led to foreign adoption more because of the number of children we had.
We even had a state social worker tell us that she thought it was illegal to have more than six children.
In the house, so. It's got a... So.
I think the two main things are patience and faith. Faith because you have to trust it's going to work out when things look like it's not going to happen, and patience because it's such a slow, frustrating, red tape filled process.
God just makes things work out. You know, God gave us these children because we didn't choose these children. It was, you know, people think, oh, you go and pick out a child. You don't pick out a child. I mean, it's kind of like they find you.
The children that are adopted are just the same as the children
that are not birth children.
So I don't think
having children is basically a miracle. But whether they're adopted or biological, it doesn't matter. It's a miracle.
We always have people come up to us and say, "Oh, you've done all this great and wonderful stuff for these children," but
they're our kids. That's what you do. They're your kids.
We're the ones that are lucky. I look at them and then I'm just amazed that we were allowed to have the children, that, you know, we are the lucky ones, not them.
I think for us to understand that we have the ability to do something that a lot of people do not. And again, I don't believe everybody is called to adopt, but you can go back to the James series that we just did, and I won't talk much about it just because I'm going to send you to the message. If you want to go hear a message about our call to take care of orphans and widows, I did a whole week on it. It's out of James 1:27, and you can go back on podcasts and listen to it. But we have a mandate, a call for us as believers to take care of orphans and widows. And I'll just be honest with you, you know, we're great sometimes at just wanting to throw some money at something and just be like, you know, here's 50 cents. And, you know, be on your way and let's feel better about ourselves. But God has called us to take care of them, which means we're supposed to do something about getting them out of the situation, and we expect everybody else to do something instead of us sometimes when it comes to this or when it comes to something else even maybe in life that God may be convicting your heart about. Again, it's not something God calls everybody to do, but at the end of the day, I got to tell you, I'm looking at us and I'm thinking, okay, as American Christians, who better to go adopt? Who better to go save orphans than American Christians? You say, well, Chris, why do you say it like that? Because we have so much. Number one, we're Christians. If we say we're Christians, let's be Christians. You know, I had somebody tell me the other day, I love this church because I feel like this church is trying to really do the Word of God and be doers of the Word. And that's great to say, but it's terrible if it's not true. Let's be doers of the Word. Let's fill that mandate. Let's do what they need. What do they need? They need homes. Let's adopt them. As I thought about this week, and I thought about the average family in America, and there's a lot of people going through tough times right now, but so many families have already got picked out in their head the next car that they're going to buy. All because their car has got 100,000 miles on it now. And we're going to come to church in days to come, and out there in the parking lot is going to be a whole bunch of nice cars. But I'm just thinking, what if instead of a whole bunch of nice cars in the parking lot, what if we just had like some mediocre cars that get us to where we need to go and they're at least reliable? And we don't go spend 30 and 40 grand on a new whatever it is. Because see, we're a people, our generation, we're a people like if we want something, we're going to do it. We're going to figure it out. And we hear something like this, and when we've heard, you know, numbers of like, oh, it costs like, you know, $4,000 to $40,000 to adopt a kid, depending on the situation and everything. And we're just like, oh my gosh, that's so much money. Really? Pools are a lot of money. Cars are a lot of money. Some of the junk that we will spend money on, just sneeze it away, is a lot of money. This is my opinion, and I can't pull it straight from God's word, but in my opinion, I don't know many other people in the world on the planet right now that are better situated to adopt and to save orphans. Because I'll be honest with you, I would love if in 4 or 5 years that when somebody would come back and visit our church, that instead of seeing a bunch of nice cars in the parking lot, that they would see a bunch of adopted children inside the church. We have an opportunity to save kids, not just save their lives, possibly, but to show them life in Christ. It's just simple. John 14:18, this is God talking about us. He says this, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's God about us. That's God about us. And if we're supposed to be imitators of him, what's that mean? Let us be a part of the process, fulfilling the mandate that we have to care for widows and orphans. And no, maybe God's not leading you to adopt. Maybe he's leading you to give to the process of adoption. You're like, Chris, I don't even know what to do with that. I may have some money, but I don't know what to do with it. I'm about to tell you. The fund that we started called Craving Grayson, which was to raise money for Logan and Melody's adoption, will always be called Craving Grayson, but it won't always be for Logan and Melody. It will be for families that are members of 24 Church that feel God leading them to adopt. Because I want members of this church to know that when God leads them to do something, to climb the mountain, that we as a church are going to come around them and we are going to support them and we're going to try to help them figure it out. Because we are a family adopted in Christ. So anytime you want to give to that, you give to it. Go out in the hallway if you want to when this is over with, out there with some of the other adoption stuff. Melody is out there. We're going to have some of the home shirts that we've sold in the past to help raise money, and the order kind of got messed up. Not our fault. And, you know, people. If you want a shirt, great. They can, you know, tell her what size you want. They can get you one made. If you want to just walk up to her and say, here's some money, I don't need a shirt. Just walk up to her, give her the money. We'll get the money in that fund. And it will be sitting there waiting on whoever is next in line that is going to adopt a child and needs the money. Yeah, it's expensive, but so is living. you know what? We only go around once, and we can't just keep saying, yeah, I'm going to do that one day. I'm going to do that one day. We just got to do it. And I'm as guilty as anybody. God is leading my family to adopt.